a failed democracy? Thousands of Tunisians have been protesting against what they say is a dictatorship and an unprecedented economic crisis. But can their anger make a difference? How's it being viewed in the region? This is Inside Story. Hello there and welcome to the programme. I'm Laura Kyle. Major rallies in the Tunisian capital. Protesters say the president is reversing political freedoms gained more than a decade ago. That's when the Arab Spring led to the ousting of the former president, Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, and sparked uprisings across the Arab world. This time, Tunisians accused President Kais Saied of orchestrating a power grab and further weakening their economy. Laura Khan reports.
Protesters pack Habib Bourguiba Avenue in the heart of Tunis. They want President Kais Saied out of power. The street has long been staged for political change. 12 years ago, protests grew here, spread across the country, and within weeks toppled longtime president Zine El Abidine Ben Ali. Now, opposition groups that have long been rivals have unified, and they include the National Salvation Front Coalition and the Free Constitution Party.
On the anniversary of the revolution, they are more united than ever before. And a lot of progress has been made in this particular point. The way out is quite simple. It is actually a dialogue, a national dialogue between stakeholders in this country and national representatives of the different political forces.
In what many saw as an attempt to placate the protesters, the president attended a rally on Friday. One man shouted to him, "They're hungry." The country is in an economic crisis. Inflation is soaring, jobs are scarce, and a $1.9 billion bailout from the International Monetary Fund is being discussed. But with many concerned the country is becoming more authoritarian, the United States may block it. Last month's parliamentary election saw 11% of voters cast ballots. It was meant to reshape the legislature dissolved by the president after he seized executive powers in July 2021. But now Kais Saied is under pressure from growing opposition groups and anger on the streets. Laura Khan, Al Jazeera.
Well, let's take a quick look at what's happened in Tunisia since the Arab Spring in 2011. The moderate Islamist party, ENADA, dominated parliament for the first 10 years until 2019. It was then voted out and Kais Saied voted in as president. Saied soon sacked his government and suspended parliament in 2021, awarding himself powers to rule by decree. In June 2022, he fired dozens of judges. The rest of the judiciary went on strike. In July, a widely boycotted referendum passed a new constitution, written by Saied, which strengthened the presidency and weakened parliament. Widespread opposition to Saied's reforms was evident in a record low turnout of voters, just 11% in parliamentary elections in December. Only 21 of 161 seats were filled. A second round will be held on the 23rd of January. Well, for more on this, let's go now to our guests. And in Tunis, Tariq Kalawi, columnist and former director of the Tunisian Institute of Strategic Studies. In Brussels, Yasmin Akrimi, research analyst focusing on North Africa for the Brussels International Centre. And also in Tunis is Amin Sanusi, political analyst and journalist covering Tunisia and North Africa. A very warm welcome to all of you. I mean, let's start with you, because you were at these protests yesterday. What was the mood like? Who was at them?
Well, I was at the protest yesterday, and it was a bit different from the protest I've participated in the last few months. This time, we can see that there is a lot of people coming for economical reasons. Just as we've heard in the report, there are people struggling to find to find food, to find jobs, to find any form of economical stability. And those people have been motivated to go to the streets and protest. So that is the main difference I've noticed with the previous protests. The mood at the protests was pretty optimistic, really, because people are hoping for a change in the next few weeks, in the next few months, because people believe that Saïd's regime has been voted out, really, by the last elections. The record low turnout is a proof for them that that there is a form of opposition to the president's regime. So there was this optimistic mood, and plus the difference between this protest of yesterday and the other protests that have been held throughout the 2 years since Kais Saied changed the regime is that there was different political organizations protesting in the same time at Tunis. Mm. There was the Dasturian Party at Khairuddin Besha. There was the Salvation Front at Habib Bourguiba Avenue. But there was also the left at Habib Bourguiba Avenue. Five political parties from the left have held a protest together. So there was like this form of general opposition and people from all different political ideologies coming to protest against the president.
Okay. Tariq, let's bring you in at this point, because I want to know whether this optimism is well placed. Is there a strong enough opposition to Kais Saied to bring about change in the next few weeks or months, as protesters hope?
Actually, the short answer, no, there is no enough. I don't think that we have seen yesterday is a serious threat to Kais Saied, even though Kais Saied is heading into a political and economic crisis, especially his roadmap is going through a crisis. So what we have is a general crisis, really, a crisis of Kais Saied, who's holding alone power since July 25, 2021, but also the alternatives. I would a little bit disagree with the idea that yesterday was an opportunity for, first, a unified front. It was not, in my view. It was the two major political opposition groups, the Salvation Front, mainly led by Nahda, and the Social Democrat leftist front, were always trying to protest at Habib Bourguiba, but the police was always trying to distinguish between them, send them into different sections of the avenue. Yesterday, they were almost at the same place, but they were basically sending different political messages. The leftist Social Democrats were basically saying, as usual, that the problems at the same time by Saïd and the Islamists. I don't think that was a message of unification yesterday. The other point that I would a little bit disagree with is that yesterday it was mainly people with economic backgrounds, or the main difference is that people were coming to Habib Bourguiba because of economic basically problems. I would say that yesterday it was again the demonstration of the political activists, mainly, rather than people coming from main street with economic and social problems driving them. The main difference, however, between what happened yesterday and the other demonstrations is that the political anger is growing. I would say in terms of numbers, I wouldn't venture into specific numbers, but I would say it was doubling down. We went maybe from 3,000 to 4,000 in the prior demonstrations to yesterday, maybe 7,000, 8,000 or a little bit more. That shows that the political activists are amassing more support than before, but at the same time, they're not able, in my view, to connect to the main street social protestation that would actually endanger and would threat Kais Saied's roadmap. Yesterday was basically looking for what's going to happen during the night before, the night after. That's where you can see this, what we can call the social street being activated. But it was really very limited.
Right.
In poor neighborhoods, we did not see major demonstrations during the nights.
Okay.
And this shows that it's still a little bit early to say that the street is able to change
the balance. So the main sense of opposition is coming from the political side. Yasmin, just how much support do these political activists have? How do they unify? If we look at the labor union in Tunisia, this is incredibly powerful. It's seeking, or it has joined forces with the Bar Association and with Tunisia's main human rights organization. Can they align themselves then with a political party to join up this opposition against Kais Saied and then bring about change that people want?
The initiative that is led by the Bar Council, the Tunisian League for Human Rights and the Labour Union is basically a call for dialogue, a call for dialogue between political parties and civil society organizations and with the president. So they know that if they include political parties, the president will not respond favorably to the initiative. In my opinion, and the opinion of every observers of Tunisian politics, the President Kais Saied will not answer favorably to any type of initiative for a dialogue or anything like that. And honestly, I am I do not think Tunisians believe that a dialogue would resolve anything. We got the Nobel Prize for in 2014, I guess, for a national dialogue that at the end of the day, I think created unnatural and politically confused coalitions that did not lead to anything but the crisis we are going through at the moment. So, no, I don't think, for example, the labor union is a very strong political stakeholder and social stakeholder, but they're not a political party. They're not going to enter in opposition directly with President Kais Saied because they're not in themselves a political alternative or counterpart. So no, I do not. I think all national organizations, I'm not talking about political parties, but national organizations are still hoping that the president will respond favorably to a call for dialogue. Political parties, all of them, you know, across ideological backgrounds, all of them agree that the problem comes from the President Kais Saied himself and from his refusal to engage with any type of stakeholder, really, and from, honestly, sheer incompetence in ruling the country since 2019. We're talking about 25th of July 2021. That was the coup. But he is in power since 2019. What has he done for the country? We're not sure. And I'm just finishing with that. I'm not saying that it was better before rulers before were doing much better. But I'm talking about a president that has all prerogatives and is the first time really since 2011 that a president concentrates all powers and hasn't done much with all these prerogatives.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, isn't it? Because Kais Saied says that Tunisia does need a strong leader to tackle corruption, to fight the political stagnation that it suffered in the 10 years after the Arab Spring. But he hasn't tackled either of those things and he hasn't achieved a way out for Tunisia. What's happened?
Yes, I think this is what scares me the most about the situation. Kais Saied came in with a lot of big promises, social justice, tackling the corrupt system and getting rid of corruption. Very big promises that people believed in. People believed in when he made his coup in July 2021. People were on the street chanting his name and supporting him. And that is scary because the disappointment that we are going to find or we are finding right now in the people is making them is leading them to pure disbelief in the political system, pure disbelief in politics. And that's what is scary. And I think what Kais Saied has done is shift the responsibility since 2019. First it was the parliament, then it was justice. And then when he got rid of everything that limits his power, now he has full powers. As Yasmin just said, he's the strongest president we've ever had since 2011, and he didn't do anything with it. Now it is the time that people are going to realize he wasn't working towards their interests. He was working towards his personal gain, his personal powers, and that's what scares me the most. The disappointment that we'll feel or are feeling the Tunisian people.
Tarek, at this stage, given that Tunisia is suffering from an incredibly dire economic situation, what do people want there? Do they want democracy Or are they happy to put up with the current status quo if they have a better quality of life, if they can feed their families, if they can send their children to school, if there's the prospects of good jobs? What do the people want most of all?
I think after all of these years since 2011, very problematic democratic transition that actually did not bring a lot of economic and social reforms, which was the main reason why there was a revolution in the first place. You have so many people really pessimistic about the whole idea of democratic transition, or at least the way democratic transition happened in Tunisia. And I would say we have mixed reactions. We might say that many people are still, basically, they still believe that we should have a democratic process or democracy. But I would say there are a lot of people, an increasing number of people, who would say we need mainly economic social reforms, even though it's going to happen via non-democratic means. And I would say the problems of some of the base with Kais Saied is not that he's not a Democrat, but because he's not delivering yet. Mm. And this is going to be the main problem. One of the major challenges to follow really closely is what's going to happen with the IMF, the agreement with the IMF, because this is an indication of how Kais Saied's way of rule is highly problematic. So in the beginning, he sent his government to negotiate with the IMF, mainly neoliberal reforms, basically the retreat of the government and the state from the economy. But then, just a few weeks after signing the staff level agreement in October, he started basically opposing main sections, major sections of the agreement, especially the privatization of state-owned companies.
Mm. I mean, this is Kais Saied, he's not in the process of doing good work, is he? He's failed. He has failed. He's lost the support of the people. He's lost the support of the international community. He's failed. Democracy, as far as he saw it, as far as Tunisia has been so far, has failed.
Well, we have to make a difference between how democracy failed in the last 10 to 12 years and the process of failure, I would say, of Kais Saied. I don't think that he's out of basically total support. I think he's still, unfortunately, the main, I would say, leading political figure in Tunisia, even though...
Well, he's the only political figure.
With the no delivery, it's happening. I mean, the main crisis, the other crisis, is the crisis of the alternatives. The main political figures of the political elite are not able to galvanize people. And I'm afraid that the alternative is going to be even more populist or more authoritarian than Kais Saied. This is something really to watch, especially if the major economic and financial problems are not resolved in the coming weeks and months.
Yasmin, what are your thoughts here? Is Kais out of support? Does he still have some support? Has he failed? What can the alternative be? I mean, there are a lot of big questions here as to what happens. Should he go?
I think there's a distinction to be made between his loss of support from the international community and from local political stakeholders. That's a thing, yes. And he completely lost support from the very beginning, taking over all powers. He lost the support of the international and the national community. But when you're talking about Tunisian people and you're seeing polls, for example, he's still maintaining high levels of support. And again, this is not because people are adhering to his policies, but because there's an absolute lack of alternative, a viable alternative, and also of new faces. But again, just going back to the idea of do Tunisians want democracy or still want democracy? Do they want economic justice? The premise is one cannot go without the other. And I think a lot of Tunisians understand that the idea that, again, remembering why the Tunisian revolution happened in 2011, it was mainly economic demands at the beginning, and economic demands based on the idea that, authoritarian regimes cannot deliver on economic justice. Well, this is, again, the same thing. And for Kais Saied, I wouldn't agree that he's not delivering, he's not delivering on things. He's delivering, cutting a deal with the IMF and not managing to go on with the deal. It's been months now. Mm. The deal was meant to be cut in March, and the money was meant to come in March. We're in January 2023, huh? having, you know, shortages and consecutive shortages in basic commodities, skyrocketing inflation. These are results. He's not delivering. This is in itself speaking for his policies, and basically the complete contradictions between his discourse and his very leftist populist discourse, and then him delivering on basically very harsh neoliberal policies.
What support does Saeed get from outside of the country? Something is propping him up.
From outside the country, I think Saeed has lost the support since his coup. I think it is very difficult for foreign actors to deal with someone without having a clear visibility on the next few years. And what they are seeing from the outside is that Saeed is dealing with politics day to day. He's doing an improv class of politics in Tunisia. He's just basically changing whatever part of the system doesn't fit his agenda, and that's what scares or what drives away foreign actors that will not support someone with no clear visibility. Plus, Kais Saied also has a double position when it comes to foreign actors. He always says that there is too much foreign influence in Tunisia. He's very critic of Occidental countries, etc., and etc. But at the same time, he's asking for deals. He's asking for very neoliberal deals with the IMF, with the World Bank, and etc., and etc. So he's really his populism is characterized by his relationship with foreign actors.
Tarek, we've got other authoritarian actors in the region, Algeria, Egypt, the UAE. They're all going to be watching pretty closely what happens in Tunisia, as they have done since the Arab Spring, which none of them was particularly fond of. What do you think their view is of all this?
Well, let me first say, I mean, that I don't think that we have an authoritarian regime now. I would say we have a semi-authoritarian regime. An authoritarian regime would not allow yesterday's demonstrations. It's a hybrid problematic regime, and this is totally true with so many populist leaders who have these kinds of semi-authoritarian hybrid systems. This is what we have in Tunisia. Secondly, with regards to the outside support, I think I disagree with the idea that he does not have an outside support. I think he does. Within the realm of the G7, I think he still has an active support of European actors, especially the French and the Italians, especially with the Italians in the background of illegal immigration. And with regards to the French, they are very interested in having a stable situation in Tunisia. And because there is no clear, visible alternative, they would be fine now with Kais Saied. Does not mean that they're happy with him, but they don't see a viable alternative. And that would be a reason why they would lobby for Tunisia and Tunisian government and Kais Saied to get an IMF agreement. Actually, there is lobbying within the G7 for Tunisia to get, still it's happening even now, to get Tunisia an IMF agreement. With regards to Washington, the U.S. is a little bit skeptic maybe about Kais Saied, but still, I don't think they have an approach of rupture with Kais Saied, of total rupture of Kais Saied. They are still, I think, weighing in what's going to happen, especially with a possible alternative to him. With regards to the regional actors, I would say the Algerians, they are basically in alliance with Kais Saied. Does not mean they like him. But clearly, there is a clear, basically, relationship, very strong relationship between basically two different levels of actors. I wouldn't say that Tunisia's Kais Saied is a vassal state for Algeria, but it's basically under the influence of the Algerian regime. The other actors,
all right, no, Tarek, I'm afraid that we will have to leave it there. Apologies for jumping in. We have run out of time, unfortunately. We could speak a lot more about this, and hopefully we will again in the coming weeks and months revisit Tunisia. It's a fascinating development there in a fantastic country. Very many thanks to all our guests, Tarek Kalawi, Yasmin Akrimi and Amin Sanusi, for joining us today. And thank you too for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website. That's aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, do go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Laura Kyle, and the whole team here, it's bye for now.